you in the 06010.
Welcome to Fantasy Focus Football Podcast, which is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time on ESPN's Twitter and Facebook and YouTube feeds, as well as on the ESPN app, One App, One Tap. And you can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the 2021 NFL season. It is finally here. We are just hours away from the Bucks and the Cowboys. Cannot wait to dive into that. Field Yates, Mike Clay, hello there.
Hey, what's going on? Football is back. I can't believe it.
Finally. And Stefania Bell is here as well. Good morning, Stefania. And Daniel here, too.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning.
It's good to be here.
It's like Christmas.
It is like Christmas. It is. It's a great day. It's a day we've all been waiting for a long, long time.
Yeah, first day with no Matthew.
That's right.
That's what you're talking about, right? No Matthew show?
Well played.
A great point. Well played. Yes, we do have football back tonight. The Bucks and the Cowboys kick the season off. There were 256 games in a previous season, so we add 16 more. 272 regular season games ahead of us over the next 18 weeks. Of course, it begins tonight and concludes week one, Monday Night Football, ESPN. Just one week one Monday Night Football game this year. That is the Ravens traveling across the country to play the Raiders.
I got
to
tell you, I love those doubleheader Monday Night Football games, but my sleep schedule is so glad there's only one game.
Totally.
Seriously.
Completely agree. That 1:30 go to bedtime on the East Coast is tough for us brutal souls. We're going to preview the game tonight. We're going to talk about some news and a variety of other things, but let's begin. And Stefania, it's week one. It is the first time the teams are required to submit an injury report. It's the first day that we all have information to react to other than that Bucks and Cowboys injury report that has been taking place throughout the week because they play tonight. And yesterday, Austin Eckler did not participate for the Chargers. What do we know about this?
Well, we know that Austin Eckler plays fantasy football, and so that's going to factor into this in a bit. But let's start with the fact that he didn't practice, and he was listed on the Chargers injury report as a DNP, did not participate because of a hamstring issue. And I understand why people got nervous, right? He missed six games last year with a serious hamstring injury, so you hear that and you get nervous. But you need to remember that sometimes players don't practice, and it's a proactive move. You know, it could be that as simple as he felt a little tightness or a little stiffness, maybe a little soreness from the work they've been doing the preseason. They said, you know, let's just take it easy and work on the side. They have to put a body part there. So potentially that's part of it. We also know that nearly half the players who get a DNP on Wednesday are full participants by Friday. So with more days to go in the week, let's not worry too much about this. But most importantly, Austin Eckler tweeted about 3 hours before the official injury report came out. So I'm guessing it was right before practice. He tweeted a picture, you know, a video clip of himself going through some various moves and then said, never been more ready or excited. And I think those were words carefully chosen by a guy who understands that fantasy football managers might be paying attention.
Okay, that's great news. And I'll just say this. So I'm just going to peel the curtain back a little bit onto what happened last night, because a lot of people were wondering what to do if they were having a last minute draft. Last night was the War Room League draft. A lot of you are familiar with it because we talk about it frequently on this podcast. There are 16 teams made up of a variety of ESPN individuals, including the most plugged-in people in the business, Chris Mortensen, Adam Schefter, and the like. And Austin Eckler made it all the way to pick 15 last night, Mike, because there was so little information available. Yes, Stefania referenced that tweet that had caught people's attention. And I had pick 14. He went one pick behind me at pick 15. And I'll be honest with you, Mike, is that, and there's some scar tissue from someone who last year had the third pick, maybe the fourth pick in the league, and took Saquon Barkley. And I learned the perils of basically not having your first round pick available for much, if not all, of the season. And I passed on him. But at the same time, if I find out today that even with that tweet that was sent out just prior to the injury report, that he's going to miss 4 weeks, it's a problem. So I think the concern is really not so much about the people that have him already on their rosters, like already drafted him, because it's sunk cost at that point. I think really the people that were most concerned were those that had the draft last night. Did I make a mistake passing on him?
Well, hold on. I'm going to check that tweet here, see if he sent a follow-up tweet that says, .. I'm excited to go, .. in week five. Like, okay. I'm trying to make sure he's... I don't see that.
Not yet? So
I think he might be okay. Obviously, we don't know right now. We're going to have to see what happens today. I don't think you made a big mistake because you're still getting a really good player.
I took Antonio Gibson.
Took Antonio Gibson. You know, I love Antonio Gibson, so I think you're fine there with Gibson. I understand being a little conservative with your first round pick. I know, our good friend Matthew Berry, that's his ride or die, and he went another direction too.
Yeah, so, he had Travis Kelce on the board of pick 10, I know, option, which is right? a great option. So I'm not, so, I don't, you know, that could be just as much about Kelce as it is not about Eckler, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so if you are drafting today, I still think he should be gone and, you know, towards the, we'll say the 1-2 turn. But if you have Eckler and you're concerned right now, Justin Jackson is out there in quite a
Glad
bit
you
of
said
leagues.
That.
You
Glad
can scoop
you
him
that.
Up. Maybe he gets 15 touches or so. They have Josh Kelly there, Larry Roundtree, the rookie, but it would probably be Jackson as the main guy. So if you are panicking, want to throw him on the end of your bench, nothing wrong with that right now.
Yeah, I think that's the most important point here and the draft part, but I think 99.5% of drafts probably already done by now with a couple of cliffhangers tonight before the game begins at 8 o'clock. And some people do draft after the Thursday night game. It's viable. It's allowed in our ESPN system. But have Justin Jackson on your mind as you think about the back end of your roster. If you drafted Austin Eckler, maybe you have a piece at the end of your roster that you took as nothing more than a late-round flyer, second quarterback, second tight end. Might be worth right away acting on grabbing Justin Jackson if you already have Austin Eckler. So, Stefania, part of the reason why Austin Eckler was concerning to me was that while he did deal the hamstring injury last year, I didn't get the sense it was going to be something he had to manage this year. But one thing I have learned over the first two seasons of A.J. Brown's career is despite the fact that he's very young, he manages his body, and the Titans do a very good job of this. Is that what happened with him in the first practice participation report this week?
I think it is. Again, Wednesday practice, we don't know exactly because we need to see what happens Thursday and Friday. But you referenced it. All of last year, A.J. Brown was dealing with a knee injury after he had a bone bruise that he suffered early in the season. The Titans were very, very good about managing his workload, often giving him a day off during the week. And he missed a couple weeks, but he ended up playing the rest of the season and then had arthroscopic surgery, not on just the knee that had the bone bruise, but on his other knee as well. So arthroscopic surgery isn't nothing. It tells you there was something going on in his knees, and they're probably just being mindful about the fact that he has had prior knee conditions. And this is where teams really start to look at volume of work. How much work are they doing in a week? You know, they have this week leading up to the games, and it's an 18-week season this year. I'm just not going to be surprised if teams are using a lot of these days off for veterans to manage conditions that could potentially be chronic. Again, watch the Thursday and Friday practice reports because we want to make sure this isn't a blow up that's going to cost him some time. But I don't have any reason at this moment to believe that it is.
So for those that are just joining us for the first season this year, first of all, we're glad to have any new listeners that might be aboard. Second of all, Friday is often not the last ditch effort on injuries, because you should watch Fantasy Football Now on Sunday mornings, ESPN2, or we start in ESPN News when we follow F1, which will be the case this week. The F1 season still continuing, but that's when Stefania has all the latest information. And I would challenge you to go find someone who has better injury information, but you spend the rest of your life looking for that person. So make sure you tune in on Sunday to Fantasy Football Now, and also tomorrow's podcast when we have an additional day worth of injury update.
Field, you are too kind. I just want to add one thing. Going back to Austin Eckler with the hamstring issue and all the people panicking, they don't say on the injury report left or right. We have no idea if it was even the same side. So again, when you look at these things, it's really easy to get nervous about a player missing practice, but I look for the details, and that all really matters. Also, a lot of times players, if something new happens, they are not out on the side field working with the staff. So again, the little things will give you more information than just the injury designation. That's what we're here for.
Hey, yesterday I tweeted, this is a situation to monitor. And there are a bunch of fans that were like, he's going to play, he's fine. Did I say, like, he's not going to play?
No.
We're just monitoring it. That's what we're doing here on the podcast. We'll continue to monitor it until Sunday.
Field, I know that football season is upon us because I just started getting notifications that Mike Clay told me I'm an idiot, which I appreciate every year. So we always get this. I love that it happens during the show. I get a bunch of notifications that all these bench players are projected to outscore your starters, which obviously you, Mike, doing the projections, you're telling me, obviously passive aggressively, that I am a poor fantasy manager. So I just, that's how I know fantasy football season is upon us. So
yeah, there are certain signs you can sort of smell it in the air, right? Like,
cool.
You know, Matthew no longer wears his white pants because we're past Labor
Day.
That's
right. That's
total
right.
Fashion faux pas. Mike Clay starts sort of passive aggressively sending you fantasy notifications on the great ESPN
Someone's
app.
Someone's projected to outscore Brandon Ayuk on your bench. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's one of those things.
Well,
yeah.
You know what? This is kind of embarrassing, I guess, but I'm getting them too.
Oh,
I can't even set my own lineups, apparently.
Oh,
I'm getting buzzed here, one after the other, so God, I guess I need to set my lineups.
Is anybody else available to fill in for this guy for the rest of the show? All right, do we have a game preview drop or no, Daniel?
Game preview.
Close enough. Yeah, we'll work on that for future Thursday night football game previews. That was my bad for not asking that question.
No, that was my bad. I'm the producer.
No, it's my bad.
All right, Field, you can take this one. All right.
I told you it's my bad.
It was my
fault. Let's get into it. The Cowboys travel to Tampa Bay. They play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course. And let's start in the injury front with both teams. We'll go in order, Dallas and then Tampa Bay. Stefania, the big question mark for the Cowboys on the injury front, of course, was Dak Prescott.
Yes.
But it seems like we have reached the point that you have been telling us we were at for, I don't know, about a month now of no concern.
I'm so excited to see Dak play because I feel like I've been hearing all these things that he's been doing, even before he actually rejoined the team for practice when he was still recovering from that lat strain and they were working on his volume of throwing, kind of getting him up to what he would need to be able to do in a game. And Dak is just champing at the bit. He wants to get out there. Obviously, his ankle is doing very well. He was running during OTAs, doing more at that time than Mike McCarthy expected. His ankle is good enough that when he was listed on the injury report this week, which is required if there's even something in the background that there is still either limiting reps or what have you, he only had the right shoulder listed. He did not have the ankle listed. He was off the pregame injury report, means he is fully cleared to play. And I am looking forward to seeing Dak Prescott back on the field.
Yeah, I can't wait to see Dak back. And Mike, I just want to make sure people are aware. CeeDee Lamb off the COVID list. No concerns there, obviously, as well. So Dallas, from an injury standpoint, the biggest injury update for the Cowboys is guard Zach Martin, who he is perhaps the best guard in the league. I'm no Brandon Thorne, who's really
second best. Quentin Nelson is the best
Nelson,
guard in the league.
Yeah, no, I trust Brandon Thorne's evaluations than my own on offensive line play. But what I will just say is that he's objectively one of the best offensive linemen in the NFL. Zeke Elliott recently called him their best offensive player. So how's that for Zeke in terms of praise for Zach Martin? He has a chance, but it sounds like we're talking about like a teeny tiny chance of playing in this game. The Cowboys initially shut the door on him playing, and now he sounds like he has a tiny glimmer of hope. He would have to fly a private jet from Jerry Jones. Anyways, the point is, don't expect Zach Martin to be on the field. And I'm gonna mention that now because it has some application to all these Cowboys. Mike, Dak Prescott, going into tonight, he was unbelievable last year, as you taught me about 3 weeks ago. He was on pace for how many yards last year before he got hurt?
7,000 yards.
7,000. He's unbelievable. Yes. Any concern? Now, if you drafted Dak, any concern at all about playing him tonight?
You're just
crank it up.
No, there's two ways to look at it. You could say, okay, he's facing one of the best defenses in the NFL, maybe the best on paper in the league, and that's a negative. But on the other hand, it's a team that is really good against the run, dominant against the run. They bring back their entire defense from last year. So teams throw it against them. They face the second most pass attempts in the NFL. Why? Because, again, teams want to throw. They game plan to throw because they can't run on them. And game script, of course. Tampa's going to score a lot of points. You're going to have to keep up. You're going to have to throw a lot of passes. So, yes, it might be a challenge. Maybe his efficiency's down, but he's going to throw the ball a ton in this game. Great supporting cast. Yeah, it's value with his legs. So much to like with Dak. You drafted him, you start him.
Now, here's what gets more interesting. And we talked about this a couple days ago. Like Friday morning, people waking up and saying, why did I draft Zeke Elliott in the first round? Because Mike mentioned it. The Buccaneers very good against the run. Last year, on two occasions, the entire season, two, a running back had more than 60 rushing yards in a game. Dalvin Cook, not a surprise there. Do you know who the other one was, Mike?
Against, who was it? Against
the Buccaneers.
Tampa? Mike Davis.
No, it was Brian Hill.
Oh, okay.
Falcons running back at the time.
Yeah.
So, yes.
We all knew that, right?
Yes. Everybody, who amongst us didn't have that one lined up, right?
The guy who's not on a roster right now, I believe.
So you think about a division, which the Bucs did play against Christian McCaffrey for one game last year. He had less than 60 yards rushing. Alvin Kamara, they played against him last year. He had fewer than 60 yards rushing. Very good run defense. I have Zeke outside my top 10. So do you, Mike, 14, 15. Daniel, you have him inside. You're holding strong. You're confident. You think this is going to be a nice night? Or is this just like you're playing him either way, but you're confident in him too?
I'm confident because I think that there's going to be points scored in this game. And I think that Zeke is going to get passing game usage from Dak as a part of it. When you look at what, you know, Zeke is a great pass catcher. We've always known that. He's a guy that is absolutely used out of the backfield. And so when I think about the scoring that they're going to do, and I think this offense is going to move, not only do I like the ability for Zeke to potentially get in the end zone on the ground, but like I said, he's a pass catcher. I think he's going to be very involved in this game.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, to his point, you know, we just talked about how good they are against running backs, fewest carries and rushing yards and lowest yards per carry to running backs last season. But also the most receptions allowed to opposing running backs with 101. So to your point, you know, if he struggles on the ground but gets seven targets, you know, he could still pay off. Maybe he finds his way into the end zone. Also, I think people were kind of disappointed with what they saw from him last season, but he was still, you know, he's been a top 12 fantasy running back 5 years in a row, right? So he's still one of the best, tons of volume, even without Zach Martin, is still a quality offensive line, a high volume offense. There's still a lot to like here. If you have him, you start him.
Just to quantify the impact of Zach Martin, though, and again, sample size, et cetera, last year, I hope I have this number specifically correct, but the Cowboys averaged 4.5 yards per rush with Zach Martin on the field. Off the field, 3.8 yards per carry. So he's a good player, very good player, but it's going to be a very difficult matchup without your best offensive lineman. If you have Zeke, you're playing him tonight, Mike, but if you wake up tomorrow morning jilted, it's okay. Like, a lot of people are going to be in your corner, okay? Don't worry about Zeke.
I know that fantasy is not gambling, but I'm just curious, Field.
Yeah.
Caesars has the line at 53.5 rushing yards for Zeke. You think he hits that?
Slightly over. 54.
Yeah, I'll go over. I don't know what my projection is off the top of my head, but I think it's
the idea that they have him projected for less than 60. I mean, that's big. It's Zeke.
It is, but I also wonder how many targets. Like, it might be more of a passing
situation.
Hey, that's
my point. Don't take my – hey, that's my argument, Stefania.
Okay, well, you know, we mind-melded over here.
Oh, okay,
you
know all right, that's fair.
I sat in your chair once. Look what happened.
Daniel's the only one that thinks Zeke Elliott's good at football. So
I'm the only one that ranked him inside the top 10, so I guess so.
You know what, though?
You ranked him 11th.
What he's trying to do, though. You know what? I get this. Stefania, you would get this, too. I know. So Daniel's trying to buddy up to Zeke because he watched Hard Knocks.
That's right.
And on Hard Knocks, Zeke gave Dak an amazing birthday present. Mm-hmm. It's one of those, like, a bag from a company that I can't even... Goyard, maybe? Was that? I think it was a Goyard bag. That's pronounced correctly, right? Hopefully Stefania knows.
I don't know.
Okay, Goyard. You guys can tell me I'm an idiot. It's actually pronounced, like, I don't know, Johnson. It's not pronounced Goyard. But I'm pretty sure Zeke gave Dak like an amazing travel bag, which if I correctly Googled it at the time, it's worth like thousands of dollars for a bag. Like I have like a $14 suitcase that I use to get me from place to place, but each to each their own, right?
Oh, fair enough.
But basically point is Daniel wants one of those as well.
It is embarrassing to fly with you. Your suitcase is like super basic.
I'm just being honest. So for the Cowboys wide receivers, you're playing Amari Cooper, you're playing CeeDee Lamb. What's interesting, I think, is you might have a decision on Michael Gallup. I have him outside my top 30. Daniel has him outside my top 40. Mike has
that's too low. That's too low? I got to move Michael Gallup up. That's too low.
Okay, but Mike, you've been 26, so you're kind of confident here.
Yeah, so this guy was second in the NFL in pass routes last year. I don't know if people realize that. He plays a lot, even with Lamb there, even with Amari Cooper there. Again, a very high-volume offense that's going to throw the ball plenty. They're going to have to throw in this one. Just to my point on Dak Prescott, it applies here as well. And also, look, this guy's he's still in his prime at 25. It's a contract year for him. It's huge. And there's chatter about getting him more involved with Dak on the field. You know, more in the slot, more high-percentage throws. That's a good sign, especially if you're in a PPR league, which, of course, is what we're talking about. So a lot to like with Gallup. I know that his targets kind of spiked after Dak got injured last season, but his fantasy production was similar. I think he's a borderline wide receiver 3. And again, yeah, I am high on him just because of game script and the matchup tonight.
All right, so we have Gallup as a possible tonight. CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, Zeke, and Dak as locks. Before we get to the Buccaneers, first, a word from our friends over at Corona. Did you know that Tony Romo, of course, a Dallas Cowboy during his playing days, is a motivational speaker now? All this football season, Tony and Corona are motivating football fans to live the game day good life. Let Tony unlock your football fan potential at RomoMotivation.com. There you can launch an augmented reality experience that will put Tony in your living room or at the bar next to you while you watch the game. It's true, you can be better at watching football. Let Romo and Corona show you how to live the game day good life. Visit RomoMotivation.com now. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Now is the time to celebrate. The NFL is finally back, and DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL, has millions of reasons why you should be excited too. To kick off the football season, DraftKings is giving new customers a free shot at a $1 million top prize with a total of $4 million up for grabs for tonight's opener. Getting in on tonight's single game showdown is easy. Draft six players from the season opener, stay under the salary cap, and just see how your team stacks up against the competition. Head on over to the app now and feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at $1 million payday. Download the DraftKings app now and use code FFF. This week, new customers can get a free shot at a $1 million top prize and $4 million in total prizes. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at that $1 million top prize with your first deposit. That's code FFF only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
So if I listen to the CSS, DFS. Pod,
yes,
that's gonna help me.
Yo,
towards that $4 million,
huge. We got a CSS DFS coming up after this show. Mike Clay, Al Zeidenfeld, and I are gonna break down the entire week one slate for your DraftKings needs. So definitely stick around. You can find it here in your Fantasy Focus feed, or you can find it on the ESPN YouTube feed, where you can watch us there instead if you'd rather do that. So check it out, because Mike's awesome and Al's won so much money. I feel so inferior to both of the guys that I get to do that show with.
I know, it's crazy. Like, Al's literally like millions.
Yeah,
he's an example, right? I would like a cut of Al's.
Literally won the Millie Maker. Yeah. And by the way, I did an interview with Dave Bergman, a UConn professor.
Yep.
It's at ESPN for free. You could read it. Did an interview with him actually a few months ago. We just ran it yesterday. Just asking him about his strategies. How did you win a $2.5 million prize at DraftKings? He nailed it. He gave us his strategy, so you can check that out over at ESPN.com.
Quick spoiler alert, just so you guys know, we have a free league that we do, Mike, Al, and I, on DraftKings that any of our fantasy-focused people can sign up for this week. You'll hear about it on the DFS podcast. $1,000 up for prizes, as well as $100 to first place. Cost no money to enter. If you've ever thought about dipping your toe into the DFS water, this is the week to do it. Come hang out with us and sign up for that free league.
Things you love to see. That. Let's get to the Buccaneers. And Stefania, there was a notable buck on the injury report this week. It was Chris Godwin. We talk about how players are often managing things in week one. What would you describe Chris Godwin's status as now?
It's clear to go. I mean, the good news is we already know he's off the pregame injury report. He was listed as a full participant on Wednesday, even though they technically did not have a full practice. It was an estimation as far as the injury report goes. But he appeared on Tuesday with a quad issue. And again, this is why I say you don't really know if it's truly an injury or something that the team is monitoring. And so proactively, they're limiting the number of reps for a player. Again, going into a Thursday night game, if he's experiencing anything, they're not going to want him to practice on Tuesday. So I took this as more of them being cautious, and everything about Chris Godwin looks a full speed ahead for Thursday night.
Okay, that's good news for Chris Godwin and the entire Bucs offense. The thing is that if the Bucs didn't have Chris Godwin, they'd be so depleted, right? Because they'd have to turn to Mike Evans and Antonio Brown and Scotty Miller and Tyler Johnson and Rob Gronkowski.
OJ Howard, Cameron Bray, Gio Bernard.
Finally, they catch a break amongst pass catchers. But let's begin with Tom Brady, who begins his 22nd NFL season tonight. The GOAT of GOATs cracks everybody. Well, I'm sorry. No, Daniel, once again, the odd man out here. I have him at 5. Mike has him at 4. Daniel has him at 8. I think we feel good about Tom Brady. I know Daniel, a little bit lower. That's okay. But the strategy or the way in which Tom Brady reaches, you know, high fantasy potential is not going to be ever with his legs. It's going to be with his arms. Mike, this was one of the worst secondaries in the NFL last year, and it's hard to imagine that this team, it may be improved defensively, but I don't think it's going to be dramatically improved to the point that it scares you.
Yeah, the cornerback situation, very similar. They added a lot of safety and linebacker turnover this year. We're going to see some new faces in the mix. But overall, a defense we expect to struggle again this season, and there's going to be a lot of pressure on them because the offense is so good. They're going to score a lot of points. And this is actually the game I have as the second highest projected game this week, so I expect a lot of throwing against a shaky defense. All in all, I think it's going to be a good day for Tom Brady. I think he's a top five option.
Yeah, it is a, I mean, it's a great matchup. first week of the season, you got to figure that teams with continuity tend to be a little bit better prepared to sort of kick things off with peak efficiency. It's the Buccaneers if Tom Brady you're starting him. Let's get to the running backs, though, Mike, because we have Ronald Jones and Leonard Fournette. None of us, except for Daniel, has either of those two in the top 30. Daniel has Leonard Fournette all the way up at 30. So none of us feel great about this. And I don't know what's going to change this year, right? Like, it's possible that one of them takes the lead back role. I continue to believe that if it's one of them, it's Ronald Jones. I think he's the more talented pure runner at this point. But it's Bruce Arians, the head coach. He's been doing this for a long time. He's fickle. And that's not a criticism. It's a fact, right? It's Ronald Jones runs for 100 yards in the first half, fumbles at the end of the second quarter. We don't see him again until the following week. Mm-hmm. That's just how things roll in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I mean, this is a problematic situation for sure. I think it's going to be very reminiscent of what we've seen with the Patriots in the past, right? I mean, you think about Fournette last year, right? He was probably their best fantasy option at running back. He had four top 24 weeks. Four of them.
Four.
And now Jones, who already didn't do much as a pass catcher, and Fournette, who actually got a lot of his value from basically doubling up Rojo in targets during the weeks they played together, is going to lose that as well. We're going to see a ton, assuming he plays, which I think he probably will. It's kind of leaning that direction. Giovanni Bernard is going to be the guy that handles a lot of that passing down work. So how does it work out for Fournette and Jones to be fantasy relevant? I mean, one of them has to get 15 touches or someone has to score a touchdown. It's going to be tough this year, and that's why we have them ranked so low.
It's possible that, again, three of the best offenses in football don't have a top 15 running back week over week between the Bills, the Chiefs, and the Bucks. The Chiefs probably, I think we're all hopeful they have at least one. They have a top 15 running back in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but it's possible that none of them do. It's just the way the NFL has moved. You've got these teams that are throwing it to set up the run and throwing it to set up more throwing of the football. And when you're in Tampa Bay, you've got plenty of options to throw the football to, which includes Mike Evans plus Chris Godwin plus Antonio Brown.
That's why they throw to set up the throw, because right. They have Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and Antonio Brown.
Keep doing it. So Mike Evans inside the top 10. Do we need to belabor this one at all or no?
No. Evans ninth for me. Godwin's 17th. Brown's closer. I mean, we could talk about him.
Well, I was thinking on Evans specifically.
Oh, Evans specifically, yeah. I mean, the one thing I'll throw out here, and I guess maybe this is more of a season-long stat, but I don't know if we talked about it much. They played 10 full games together last year. Evans, Godwin, and Brown.
All three
of them. If you include playoff games. Evans in those games, if you look at points per games, because we're counting playoff games, so fantasy points per game, Evans was wide receiver 10, if you extrapolate over all of last season. Godwin 28th, Brown 38th. So, Godwin, we might need a little more volume, a little boost in touchdowns, and mm-hmm. Evans could potentially lose some this season. That makes you a little nervous season-long wise, but I think this week against this secondary with the matchup they have, again, should be a high-volume game. I think all systems go for Evans and Godwin.
Okay, so good for Evans, good for Godwin. Antonio Brown's a bit more of a conversation. I think, Matthew and I have described him as potentially the value of all values in fantasy this year. He's a guy that during the 2010s was the best wide receiver in fantasy by a significant margin. Mike, you just shook your head like I was, well, actually not like I was an idiot because we know I am,
yeah.
But like you wanted
stupid
to remind
idiot.
Me of that fact.
Well, I mean, it's disrespectful to Antonio Gibson and Logan Thomas that he's the value of values.
Well, I hope you're correct on that. I hope you're right.
No, but in all seriousness, he's 33 now. And again, if you look at just all of his fantasy production last season and apply it to the whole season, it looks pretty good. But there was like one or two games there where Mike Evans, I believe Godwin missed one, and Evans got hurt early on, and Brown did like a ton of his production those weeks, right? But again, if you look at it, the games where you had a healthy Evans, where you had a healthy Godwin, he was, again, 38th in fantasy points per game, 16% target share, a little over 11 fantasy points per game. So that makes me a little nervous that he's more of a borderline flex option, not a major value. And again, does he fall off a little bit? He's 33 years old. I mean, they were manufacturing touches for him. 24% of his targets were screens last year. That is a huge number, one of the highest at wide receiver. They were just trying to get the ball in his hands, and now you're going to have all these other faces involved in the offense as well, plus those two star receivers. So, he was a fine pick at his ADP. I don't know that he was a major value.
It's good every once in a while for Mike to be wrong,
yeah.
Right? Because we want to humble him,
exactly,
bit, right?
So, exactly,
yeah, potentially a major foul. He's Tom Brady's best friend. They were roommates for a little bit, man. Okay. Like this is a narrative. This is a narrative.
It's
like,
a
you
narrative.
Gotta lean okay. into it, right?
Okay, Michael Gallup contract year. Antonio Brown best friends with Tom Brady.
I think Michael Gallup next year the explosion comes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cowboys have to make some decisions next year. Tight cap situation. Yeah. Amari Cooper's going to be on the books for a lot of money.
Well, this should be his most motivated year to have a big year, because if he goes off this year in this situation, it'll, you know, help his wallet a little bit.
I was motivated a lot last year. That's why our numbers were up. I was really motivated.
Yeah, so, that's it. That's true.
Was it a contract year?
Pocket contract.
Yeah.
No. Let's move forward.
Yeah. I got a question. I have often heard, and I know that there is an old adage, if you have three tight ends, you have no tight ends. Is that the case here in Tampa Bay for fantasy purposes?
If I'm picking one, it's Gronk, right? I mean, it's Gronk. It's Gronk. It's How's Gronk. That for an explanation, okay. right? Like, it's Gronk. I mean, he obviously is the best touchdown maker of the bunch. We have no idea how the snaps will shake out because they didn't have O.J. Howard with Gronk and Cameron Brate last year. If they did, it was for, like, what, week one?
Yeah, it was like 4 weeks where and Howard out-targeted
Gronk. I am really probably the most interesting player to me on the Tampa Bay side to watch tonight is O.J. Howard. I'm totally rooting for him. Mm-hmm. Coming off an Achilles tear, a rupture and repair. And so often these guys who have Achilles tears, they sort of get, you know, left for deceased. Like, they're not going to be able to resume their career. And O.J. Howard has shown a couple flashes in the preseason. I love that he's already been out there, gotten a little bit of confidence, and is like, I just want to see what he can do. I think he's too talented to be written off. And maybe it's for fantasy purposes, we're going to have trouble in the fact that they have these multiple tight ends. But I would keep an eye on O.J. Howard and see how they utilize him.
Phil, do you know how old O.J. Howard is?
I'm going to guess 24.
That was not a Matthew question where I threw it out there and knew. I just didn't know. Like, he's still very young.
Yeah. Right. He is in the fourth year of his career.
Yep.
26 and years old.
26. 24, same thing.
And
right?
He was out targeting Gronk that first month last season. We don't know if that was Gronk just getting up to speed. But how about this? Remember, you know, when Gronk retired, there was all them concerns about him being injury plagued. He played in 20 games last season.
Wow.
20 games, all, you know, through the Super Bowl. I mean, he held up the whole season. 20 games, that's the max you could play.
Good
at least last
him.
Season, now with 21. But anyway, nice job by him.
If I was going to ask you, pigskin pick'em-wise.
Yeah, let's do it.
Who are you taking in this game, Field?
So I'm gonna go out on a limb here. And I know I don't want to be the person that starts the season trying to ruffle feathers,
uh-oh,
trying to be a hot take guy. I'm taking the Bucks.
Okay.
Stop
I
it.
Thought for sure there was going to be more of a lead in. No, that was great. That was great.
29-25 bucks.
Stefania?
Yeah, because of the defense. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, but I'm going to predict a great game for Dak.
I'm also going to go with Tampa Bay. Clean sweep.
I kind of want to do only Scorigami scores if I pick the score like
wow.
Mike's. So I'm going like Tampa Bay 43.
Yes.
Dallas 32, which I'm sure has been, you know, I'm sure
that's
going to
happen.
You think it's going to be that high?
I love it.
It's really? Nothing would surprise
me. Yeah. I mean, that's a crazy high score.
I want to get weird. What can I
say? I'll tell you what, we're going to do more pigskin pick'em this year than we have done in the past years. It's been tough because Fridays are, we try to fit so much information on Fridays. So we've taken away some of the pigskin pick'em because of that. However, we do have a league set up. If you search search Fantasy Focus within ESPN's Pigskin Pick'em League, we already have it created. We're going to be doing something fun there this year. So go out, make your picks, and don't forget this Thursday night pick because everyone always forgets to pick on Thursdays. So make sure you get your pick in.
Get your pick in. Do it. Do it, Mike. We're talking to you. You always forget stuff.
Specifically,
yeah,
Mike.
All right. So we talked about this yesterday, and it's really one of my favorite things that we do on this podcast. Mike is the OG of the wide receiver cornerback matchup column. Mike highlights both positive and negative matchups. It's flattering that so many people think they can do it as well as Mike. Here's the reality. None of them do. Mike, this is something that you sort of thought of, you have made popular, and you have kept going for a long time. It's one of the many reasons why Mike, by himself, makes ESPN Plus worth it. Let's get into the matchup upgrades for this week, Mike. The piece is now live. And I get a sense that we're going to be talking about this defense a lot this year.
Yeah, I think so. You're talking
Hold on, but I want to do a trivia out of this.
Okay.
So who's the offense?
Who's the offense?
Who are the offense that we're going to talk about?
Right, we're talking about the Panthers.
They're playing against who?
The Jets.
Okay. Daniel.
Yes.
Can you name one Jets cornerback?
Zach Wilson. No, you said cornerback, didn't you?
I did.
No, I can't. No.
Yeah.
No.
That was just...
Michael Carter.
Wow. No, Michael... Yes. Cornerback and running back. Right. Dang it.
This is part of our point, where we're going here. Yeah.
The point is also Lamar Jackson. Defensive back.
Yeah,
that's right.
Practice squad.
Is he on the practice squad?
Practice squad, yeah.
Lamar
Jets got a great secondary.
But the point is, honestly, the point is that the Jets secondary is as young and inexperienced as there is in the NFL.
Yep.
It is, and I wasn't trying to be, that was Daniel.
No, obviously we're having
Daniel
fun
doesn't
with
care,
it.
Right? He has, yeah. He's going to take it as unpersonally as anybody could. But it's, I mean, Mike, just read the names.
Yeah, let's do that, because you might say, oh, I know, bless Austin. He was their number one corner last year, right? He's there. Right? Nope, cut him. Like, they
Plays
just
for the Seahawks
that
now.
Was a shocker. I mean, yeah, he was at the Seahawks. That was a shocker, because you're already like, this is a team that's in rough shape, and they cut him loose. So you have Bryce Hall. He was a fifth-round pick last year, played a bit down the stretch, kind of struggled a little bit. And Javelin Guidry is an undrafted player last year. He's going to be in the slot for them, but that's their top two corners. The three, so this guy, you know, the three is going to play a lot, right? The number three corner is going to be on the field quite a bit, especially against this Carolina team. Those guys are all day three rookies and undrafted free agents. Brandon Echols, Michael Carter II, the other Michael Carter, Jason Pinnock, and Isaiah Dunn. Those are the guys that are, they're going to pick one of them guys to be that third corner. It's a very shaky situation. Remember, Carolina last year, one of two teams in the entire NFL with three top 25 fantasy receivers. You have Robbie Anderson on the outside. You have DJ Moore on the outside. And you have Terrace Marshall is going to fill in for Curtis Samuel in the slot. So all three guys are going to be busy. We're upgrading them all. If you're looking for a flex option, maybe a DFS option kind of sleeper, Marshall's the guy to look at. It's going to be a challenge here for Robert Saleh. I'm really intrigued to see what he does, because on paper, this Jets defense needs some improvement.
If there's a regret that I have from this preseason, my regret is not being more bullish on Robbie Anderson. Write this down somewhere. Wishing that I had put more stock into Robbie Anderson having an even better year than what he did last year when he had 95 catches.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what? The Panthers spent a second-round pick on Terrace Marshall, so you might think, okay, they're getting ready to move on from Robbie. No, they gave him a contract extension. So he's
years,
part of the future there.
$29 million.
Yeah.
And also, the NFL, a third wide receiver is like your nickel cornerback, right? Your base offense is three wide receivers in many cases, right? That's going to be how a lot of offenses operate. So a third wide receiver is very useful.
No question about it. The only concern here is you switch quarterbacks, right? You know, say what you want about Teddy Bridgewater. He did get the ball in the hands of these guys. What will Sam Darnold do? We'll see.
Good start, at least as we mentioned, based off the matchup in week one against the Jets. All right, we're going to keep this going here in just a second, because we have some match. Oh, no, we have one more matchup upgrade.
Excuse me.
All right. So this one was interesting to me, Mike, because I think people think Bears defense pretty good. However.
Yeah, big changes in the secondary here for the Chicago Bears, right? So Kyle Fuller, Buster Skrine were two of their top three last season. Both gone. Fuller's with the Broncos now. Desmond Trufant was their free agent signing. Okay, we'll bring this guy in, a veteran that at times has been very good, certainly during his time in Atlanta. Didn't work out in Detroit last year.
Yeah, he'll be cut great because it didn't work in Detroit. Oh, they cut him loose too?
Okay,
well,
too.
Never mind.
He plays for the Saints now, actually, believe it or not.
Yeah, so he's just signed with the Saints. So you have Jalen Johnson, second-round pick. Again, he had his struggles last season. We'll see if he makes a year two leap. Artie Burns barely played in 2019 as a backup, was out all season last year with an injury. He's their probable number two on the perimeter. And Duke Shelley is the guy we expect to be in the slot for them. You know, Kendall Vildor, Xavier Crawford, again, names that are certainly aren't household names. These are the kind of guys that are going to be on the field in that Chicago secondary. So expect opposing offenses to attack. Who is that offense this week? It is the Rams, Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, DeSean Jackson, Cooper Kupp in the slot. All these guys getting the upgrade. We're really excited to see this Rams offense. They're at home against the Bears defense that, you know, to your point, Field, at times, they have been very good. They're not as dominant on paper, especially at that cornerback position. So I think the Rams pass offense gets off to a hot start here.
Yeah, it should be a good opportunity for Matthew Stafford to, I don't know, sort of prove the trade correct, right? Do you want him to win this year big?
Yes, I want him to win huge. I love Matthew Stafford. Everything he did, like just as a human, everything he did for Detroit, the state of Michigan. Like, I'm a Matthew Stafford fan for life. Always.
Is he your favorite Matthew?
Can you even think of a second? Matthew McConaughey is pretty cool.
He's pretty great.
How
about Matthew Harrington?
Oh, I love Matt Harrington. Yeah,
he's great.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that is really nice. Yeah, Matthew Slater, I think, is probably number three.
Happy birthday, Matthew Slater.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe the best special teams player in NFL history.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There's Matt Berry, our Sports Center anchor. Who,
yes,
I mean, we don't call him Matthew. We call him Matt, but, you know, he's in the group, I think.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's probably it.
Matt Walsh, good comedian.
Yeah, Matt Walsh, yeah.
The Matthews brothers, right? Clay, well, they were, his brother Casey.
Yeah.
Cousins as well, right?
My brother
Jake Matthews.
Yeah. My brother's Matthew.
Tyron Matthew. That's a good one, right?
Not spelled the same, but I mean, we're digging deep here. I can't.
We just
think
said
Matthew.
No one said it's not how it's spelled. It's how it sounds.
Let me ask a question. I hate to come off of this Matthew train because I love it, but I do want to know: is there a chance that the Rams just throw 60 times this game against a busted Bears secondary? Maybe not 60. How about 50 times?
It depends how good Andy Dalton is. What's your belief in Andy Dalton?
I think it's a matter of how good their defense is playing, because if their defense does what I expect it to do, they won't need to throw 50 times times. They might throw 24 times and be just fine.
You think so?
Henderson and Michelle running out the clock in the second half, perhaps, you know, or protecting a lead at the very least. So
sure.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to talk about the matchup downgrades in just a moment. But first, do you own or rent your homes?
Sure you do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work.
It is.
You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Do you want to get in shape, but you're having trouble staying motivated? Mike, make 5-hour energy shots part of your lifestyle and get the energy boost you need to get fit. Listen, we all know that sometimes you don't want to go to the gym, all right, bud? But just take a 5-hour energy shot to give you the feeling and alertness that you need so you can get there. With zero sugar and a convenient portable size, it's the perfect pick-me-up for getting stuff done. The 5-Hour Energy website has flavors galore like watermelon, tropical burst, cherry, and peach mango, as well as a ton more flavors literally for everyone. You can try them all, and on the site, you could even have the option to build your own 12 or, Mike, just in order for you to get into shape, 24-pack. Choose the flavors, and it is delivered right to your door. Go to 5-Hour Energy. That is the number 5. Mike, you love numbers. The number 5hourenergy.com, and get a 5-Hour Energy product today. You can use Mike Clay's promo code FFF to receive 10% off of your order. This offer is only valid until September 30th on one order and cannot be used with other promotions. The code is not good on subscription orders. Go to 5hourenergy.com today. Code FFF.
What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying, in all honesty, and I hate, we've been doing a lot of nonsense on this show, I apologize, but Mike's worked out. Mike's gotten a little bit bigger this offseason. I have.
Work in progress. Hiding it a little bit.
You are hiding it in that shirt, if we're being real.
But,
I'm proud of you two. You, Mike, you and Field are both bulking. I love it. You love to see it.
Bulking season.
Yeah, I'm literally bulking 6 feet in front of you. And
I know. I am aware.
Oh,
okay. Well, you know what, Daniel, though? Here's the thing. We all love Daniel. We can't talk about his physique too much because Daniel already has so much going for him that he can rock a Canadian tuxedo and absolutely own it. If I walked around with Daniel's style, I would be I would have zero confidence. Daniel's got swag.
It's just denim on denim. I like doing the denim thing.
Swap one day.
Yeah.
Field and I changing. I'll tell you all, tomorrow, as we always do, tomorrow is
Friday.
Focus. Yeah, Fun Shirt Friday for Focus. So we're going to do that. Make sure you send in your fun shirts. If you take any pictures on Twitter, you're going to work, we'd love to see them. Hashtag Fun Shirt Friday.
We made it up right now.
Yep.
All right, matchup downgrades time. Let's begin in a game that I think is really interesting for a lot of different reasons. The Giants and the Broncos. So we know the top cornerbacks are in New York. Mike, I think, is there still some uncertainty surrounding Adoree Jackson's availability for Sunday?
I think by all indications, he's going, right?
Okay.
So, I mean, that last I heard. My expectation, at least in this analysis, is that he'll be playing in this game. But look, when Dave Gettleman got to New York, he said, I'm going to fix this offensive line. We believe in it more than you do. We're gonna get it right. And then he's spending on cornerback. So, I mean, it's not good for the offensive line, which might be worse in the NFL, but it is good for their perimeter cornerback situation, which I love what they've done, honestly, at that spot the last 2 years. James Bradbury, terrific pickup last year, shadowed throughout last season, was one of the better in the business in that department. And they bring in Adoree Jackson, who, again, to your point, you know, missed a lot of time last season with the injury, struggled a bit when he came back, but he didn't play much. Previous years, he was one of the league's better corners. This guy is still young. He's super talented. And again, they're going to have the perimeter locked down. So what does that mean this week? They play Denver. Cortland Sutton, when we last saw him in 2019, he was on the outside 80% of the time. Last year, Jerry Jeudy was outside 68% of the time. So that's where they run most of their routes. Yes, the Giants could choose to shadow, as Jackson and Bradbury do have a history of doing that. It doesn't really matter. Either way, you have a good corner facing a talented wide receiver. It is a downgrade in matchup. Makes me a little leery of them as wide receiver 3 flex options. They're probably your best flex play, I would guess, based on, you know, the fact that you're just coming out of your draft. But it is a tricky matchup. So perhaps the best advice here is if you have a close option, go that way. Maybe in DFS, hold off a week, on using these guys.
And Stefan, just a reminder of where Cortland Sutton's at going into the season health-wise. Very healthy.
Yeah, he looks really good. Obviously, injured week two, towards ACL and MCL. We got a chance to see him in the preseason, making that really nice plant and cut to the inside on that reconstructed ACL. And it really, that to me was a signal of him gaining that confidence in his knee, which is one of the really the biggest challenges for a player who's coming off a major injury like that is, can you do it when you actually are up against opposing defenders? And he showed there that he could. You know, I think he'll get better as the season goes on, as he gets more plays, he takes more hits. He's going to be somebody who continues to improve, but I really like Courtland Sutton this year.
Okay, makes two of us to like Courtland Sutton. All right, one more here, Mike. And we've talked about how the Vikings defense last year, really not good. Mm-hmm. Apparently that has changed.
Yeah, no question. Sixth most fantasy points to receivers last year, fourth most to the perimeter. So receivers, again, lined up on the outside. I don't care. I don't care about that. Why? Because it's a completely different defense. They're going to have almost all new starters, guys that were injured last season, guys that opted out. They have three new interior defensive linemen, and they're all really good players, including Michael Pierce, Sheldon Richardson, Dalvin Tomlinson. Danielle Hunter didn't play last year. It's going to get you some edge pressure. Everson Griffin's back, too, so you got the team back together on the edge. Anthony Barr missed almost all of last season. Eric Kendricks missed about a month late in the season. They're back. That's a really good unit. Safety, you have Harrison Smith back. You brought in Xavier Rhodes as the other option. And then corner is completely new. I mean, they were just desperate last year trying to find guys to play snaps. Well, now you bring in Patrick Peterson, who coming off a rough year, but I mean, you're talking about Arizona when it was the man heaviest offense in the league. A lot of pressure on him. I think he'll be fine in this Mike Zimmer offense. If Cameron Dantzler back from last year, you have Bashaud Breeland on the perimeter, and they already allowed the fewest fantasy points to the slot last year. Now you bring in Mackenzie Alexander, who's a pretty good slot corner. He was very good in Minnesota. Didn't work out in Cincinnati, but he is a good player. So all in all, a much better defense. I think it's a top five defense in the NFL on paper, believe it or not. They're playing Cincinnati, T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. I think we have to downgrade all of these guys, honestly. Really, Jamar Chase probably going to be limited out of the gate, right? I mean,
it sounds like between his confidence need to be built up. But as we know, he struggled with drops throughout training camp. He's one of the harder players to grade rank going into this week.
Yeah. So T. Higgins, you know, Higgins is underpriced at DFS, so he's still an option for you, but just lower expectations a little bit. You're still starting him. Same thing with Tyler Boyd. Chase, I think you stay away from this week. He was just quoted as saying he's struggling seeing the ball, right? Because in college, it has the white stripes on it.
Right.
And in the pros, it doesn't. And he said it's harder to catch. So it might take a little time for him to get going. Don't be surprised if we see a little more out in Tate than usual here in week one.
Who's like the best fourth wide receiver in the NFL, and it's not close. Like, he could be a starter somewhere, at least close to it. Detroit.
I'm sorry. No, I just want to disagree with you there. I think Tim Patrick is the best fourth wide receiver in the NFL.
That could be true, maybe. Actually. That's a good point. Those are the two clear cuts.
Him and Auden Tate, I think, both, when they've been given time on the field, like, they both looked really nice.
They both are very good. Good call right there by Daniel Dopp. All right, let's get to our board bets, which are brought to you by Geico.
Yes. And whether you rent or own your home, head on over to Geico.com
and make it Geico easy for you.
That's right.
So let's get into some of the board bets that were made throughout the season and throughout the preseason. And once we made the board bets, we put them on Twitter to see who or which side you believed was correct. August 6th, we had a board bet. This were between all of them except for one of these was made between Matthew and I. And it was Cole Beasley or Miles Sanders will score more fantasy points this year. Who would you have picked? Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders? Emmanuel
Sanders. Cole Beasley, for sure.
Okay, for sure. How about you, Stefania?
I'm picking Emmanuel Sanders with my heart.
Wow! Two Emmanuel Sanders votes, because I had Cole Beasley. I thought this was obvious. And the masses actually believe that Matthew and Stefania are correct as well. 51.4% of you think that Emmanuel Sanders will outscore Cole Beasley, who had an amazing year last year. Had close to 1,000 receiving yards.
And Beasley, pretty much across the board, was drafted before Sanders, even after he fell a few rounds after some of his offseason commentary. We'll leave it at that. He fell a little bit in drafts. It still was going ahead of Sanders. So I'm kind of surprised that the poll went that way.
I think, honestly, my sense is that there's legit concern about someone like in Beasley's situation potentially missing time. And that
fair point.
That's a tiebreaker.
Okay. Fair point.
Duly noted. All right, let's get to August 19th. We asked the question, who will score more fantasy points, Mark Andrews or TJ Hockenson / Daniel Dopp? Who would you pick, Mike?
I think Mark Andrews, one of the kind of ho-hum, just pick-em sort of guys all draft season. He's just a really good player, always gets it done, just got a monster contract
14
extension.
$14 million per year.
Part of a high-scoring offense. I love Hockenson. I think he's in for a huge year, but you know, we've already seen it from Andrews. He's already been a certified top five fantasy tight end. Why not do it again?
How about you, Stefania?
You know, my head would say Mark Andrews, especially because as far as pass catchers go, Baltimore, they've had trouble getting them out all on the field because of health issues. So, you know, Mark Andrews to me is like the most reliable outlet at this point for Lamar Jackson. However, I just drafted TJ Hawkinson in the War Room League last night, so I hope that TJ Hawkinson wins out.
Okay. The answer is Mark Andrews, as far as I'm concerned, but Twitter also thinks TJ Hawkinson, so 55.2% of you on the side of Matthew. August 25th, we asked this question. Who scores more points, Josh Jacobs or Daryl Henderson?
Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs, and it's not close.
Yeah, Jacobs, especially with Sony Michel joining that team. I'll go Jacobs.
And by the way, this was after the trade for Sony Michel. Before the trade of Sony Michel. Yeah. I had Josh Jacobs as well. Matthew had Daryl Henderson. Josh Jacobs gets 62% of the vote. That was our second most decisive vote in the preseason. On August 30th, we asked the same player, Josh Jacobs or Gus Edwards. Who would you take, Mike?
I'm going Jacobs. You know, yeah. Edwards.
He's so underrated now. It's ridiculous.
He is.
He's become disrespected.
He absolutely is. He's still super young and talented and going to still be their top rusher. I mean, Edwards, he might get 280 carries and 12 targets, too.
Literally.
You know? And I know Jacobs isn't going to get a ton of targets, but, you know.
Dude, he might not get a ton of targets. He had like twice as many catches last year in a down receiving year. It's because Edwards has it his entire career.
Yeah.
No, he has 18 catches in his whole career, Mike. 18.
Yeah.
Stefania, who you're taking.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Josh Jacobs thing.
All right. By the way, this one, though, pretty clear, according to Twitter. Mm-hmm. Gus Edwards gets 60.1% of the votes. This is the one board bet that Stefania and I made. Robert Tonyan catching 6.5 or more touchdown passes. I said under. Stefania said over. Mike, I know where you're going on this one because you mentioned it yesterday.
Yeah, I'm at six, so I'm a little on the under. And honestly, I'm surprised Twitter isn't like 80% over because compared to what he did last year at 6.5, I mean, people are getting smarter out there. Yeah, you gotta regress to the mean based on his volume.
51.9%.
I mean, we have had to wait all podcasts for that phrase.
I'm very disappointed
that it took till the end to get it, but I'm so glad we got it in.
Yeah, 51.9% took the over on Twitter. I had the under as well there. Last one came on September 3rd. Who scores more fantasy points this season, David Montgomery or DeAndre Swift? Who you got here, Mike?
You know what? A couple months ago, I would have said Swift for sure, but a lot has changed with Tariq Cohen injured, and now DeAndre Swift not at 100%. In fact, he may be very limited here in week one. Don't be surprised if we see a lot of Jamal Williams getting 15, 17 touches, and Swift maybe 10, 11.
I agree.
Don't be surprised at all. So I have to go with Montgomery just based on the current situation.
Stefania?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think with DeAndre Swift is sort of a wait and see. We didn't really see him at all in the preseason, out with a groin injury for most of that time. And Dan Campbell making some comments that would suggest that they didn't really believe DeAndre Swift was in good enough football shape to be able to handle a full workload. And not that he was going to handle a full workload, but really questioning the amount, the volume of work he could do, especially in week one. So I expect him to play. He was a full participant yesterday for the record, but I just don't know. It might be a feel thing. Like, how does he look? Does he look like he's getting tired? Does he have to rotate out more frequently? I think this week is a tough call on DeAndre Swift.
Daniel?
I'm with you. I love DeAndre Swift. I think the Lions offensive line has a chance to be good this year. Mm-hmm. They're not just automatically good, but they have a chance.
Yeah.
But I would take, for me, and this is something that I've said this for a long time. I grew up with this, but with David Montgomery, I just think the cream rises. With him.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
You've been saying that since you
it's
were
been
like
a long
five.
Time
you
since I've been here.
You literally didn't have a beard when you first said
that. Well, I mean, I grew up a Midwest kid. So obviously, you know, with a lot of milking and cows, the cream rises is something that makes sense for, you know, where I grew up.
Right.
I'm going to have to use that. I'm going to steal that. That's
oh, yeah.
One.
Well, it wouldn't Never be the first thing before. You stole from me. So no
David
big deal.
Montgomery takes 68.6% of the votes, by the way, in this one. How long till Latavius Murray's a Lion?
You think so?
Stop
Lion?
It. No.
I
not
still
a
like Campbell. I like him staying in the Southeast in Atlanta. I like that one.
Dan Campbell just makes too much sense to me. Maybe. Questions about DeAndre Swift. Maybe after week one when a vested veteran salary is not guaranteed. Just makes sense to me. All right, those were all of our board bets. We'll continue to make them throughout the season, obviously more on a week-to-week basis or how things will look for the rest of the season. But in the meantime, a reminder to watch the CSS DFS podcast. there will eventually be some video components, right?
There will absolutely be, just not live streaming. Also, in case you're wondering, because we get this question all the time, CSS stands for Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. Mike Clay, I'm Secret Squirrel, Al is Al Smizzle, Al right. Zeidenfeld. So CSS DFS is where, that's where, we just get that a lot. People are like, what does CSS DFS even mean?
I heard it was going to be CSS TM DFS.
Oh, is that what you heard?
Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle, the Millionaires DFS podcast.
Oh, yeah. I like it. I like that.
Is that not accurate?
No, I would be happy if it became accurate.
Okay. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah,
that'd be
cool. We're going to try
to
do that.
Just remember who your friends are when it does become
accurate.
That's right.
Accurate. I was going to say, little Stefania and I, just don't forget about us. Yeah.
Because of that, though, I do want to say this, and Field, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on your toes here, but because of that, we have a finite amount of time here in the studio, so on Thursdays, our Thursday show might be 5 minutes shorter in order for us to be able to make sure we have enough time for DFS. So as a part of that, we're going to wrap things up here a little early and then get into DFS mode. Hopefully that's okay with everybody.
Of course. Yes. We are back on Friday, though. Here's what we do on Fridays. We preview all the top storylines going into the weekend. We'll talk about Thursday night's game, especially if anything notable happens. We look forward to giving you the best and latest information leading into the first Sunday of week one. For Stefania and Daniel and Mike, I am Field. The crew is back tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Enjoy the football tonight.
Peace out.
He's a NASCAR guy with a base to try, a Langford fan for life. Chargers are off to a terrible start, but that won't change his mind. Matching up all the cornerbacks, touchdown regression and weekly stats. But if your team falls flat, he's the one to blame. He's a brainiac, brainiac on the case. Projections that can put us in first place. He's a brainiac, brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.